I'm Katie Frankowitz. You're listening to news on KMUN. Turning now to news from Washington State, a Grays Harbor County resident being treated for H5N5 avian influenza died last week, according to the Washington State Department of Health. The department says the person was an older adult with underlying health conditions. The name, gender, and age of the person is not being released. They had been hospitalized in King County since early November. This was the first recorded infection with this variant in a person globally, but the state says the risk to the public is low. No other people involved have tested positive for avian influenza. The person who died had a backyard flock of mixed domestic birds. Exposure to the domestic poultry, their environment, or wild birds is the most likely source of exposure. Other people who were exposed to the backyard flock and environment are being monitored for symptoms to ensure human-to-human spread has not occurred. There is no evidence of transmission of this virus between people. Avian influenza occurs naturally in wild aquatic birds around the world. These viruses can infect other bird species and occasionally mammals. On rare occasions, avian influenza viruses can infect people and make them sick. People with backyard flocks should avoid contact with sick or dead birds and report illnesses in poultry to the Washington State Department of Agriculture by calling 1-800-606-3056. That's 1-800-606-3056. Public health officials say it is also important that people who have exposure to domestic or wild birds get a seasonal flu vaccine. This won't prevent bird flu infection, but it reduces the risk of becoming sick with both human and avian influenza viruses at the same time. Infection with both viruses could result in the emergence of an avian influenza virus that is more easily transmitted from person to person, although this is unlikely.
A central Washington wastewater plant has reportedly released pollution for years. A court settlement should help with cleanup. As NWPB's Courtney Flatt reports, the settlement will also help pay for water quality projects.
Environmental advocates say the Quincy Industrial Wastewater Treatment Plant releases pollutants like ammonia and bacteria found in feces. The pollutants eventually flow into the Potholes Reservoir and Columbia River. Data shows it's been happening for at least 5 years.
This facility receives processed wastewater from industrial agricultural users, things like potato and vegetable processors.
That's Taryn Yazodny, a staff attorney with Columbia Riverkeeper. The advocacy group announced a settlement with the city of Quincy. The city didn't admit fault to any of Columbia Riverkeeper's claims. With the settlement, Quincy will have to stick to a compliance plan and pay $400,000 to the Yakima Nation for water quality projects. I'm Courtney Flatt.
Applying for financial aid for college can be difficult and confusing, and this year there are fewer resources to help students from low-income families with that process. That's after some organizations that offered those services were impacted by federal cuts earlier this year. Freddy Monares from KNKX reports from Seattle in the latest story in a series from the Northwest News Network.
Advisor Leslie Jacobo is helping two people fill out financial aid forms and reapply to college on a recent Friday afternoon. She's bouncing around a table, switching between work on an iPad and a Dell laptop.
Y luego vas a firmar tu nombre exactamente como lo escribe ahí arriba. Okay.
Jacobo works at El Centro de la Raza's College Ganas program. The two are eager to enroll in classes, but Jacobo raises a concern about signing up for the winter quarter that's just around the corner.
Lo que me preocupa es que te metas a la cora de invierno y que no tengas la ayuda financiera. Y que tengas que pagar tú.
She tells them that the financial aid that they just applied for might not be ready in time. It's a typical misunderstanding that could cause big problems down the line. These types of conversations are playing out across the country right now as high school and non-traditional students are applying for college. Baracobo says she's busier this season compared to previous years.
I think there's a lot of programs and help that is being cut out in the community and in schools.
Earlier this year, the Trump administration proposed what it calls a skinny budget, which included cutting funding for various programs. It has also slashed funding for services that promote diversity, equity, and inclusion, calling them shameful and a waste of money. TRIO, a federal program that serves underrepresented students across the country, is one program that saw many of its grants canceled or not renewed. Matt Bisick is the executive director for the Oregon TRIO Association. He says some of those grants might have been canceled because of DEI language used in applications.
Some of those statements were still attached to these grants under a completely different administration and were almost being targeted and penalized for that when that it was the request of the previous administration.
He says at least five programs in Washington state that helped more than 1,700 students were canceled. There were no grants canceled in Oregon, but there were delays in distributing those funds.
Some of our folks were actually like laid off temporarily. Once they got the award, they were brought back, but just created disruption and even a reasonable amount of turnover.
This is all happening at a time when students really need help.
I would say that I've seen a definite increase in like hesitation to even apply to college.
Isabel Corona Campis is a college advisor at El Centro de las Razas Federal Way Office. She says there are more concerns this year about providing personal information on financial aid forms as deportation efforts ramp up.
So I think that's one of the most common questions is like, oh, who can see this? Because a lot of times, you know, there's students who maybe they themselves are U.S. citizens, but perhaps their parents aren't.
Corona Campis understands the complexity of being a first-generation student because she was one.
But I think the first-gen experience is still so unique.
Corona Campis is from a small town in central Washington. She received support from TRIO Upward Bound.
So I feel like navigating that on my own, like I have no... Maybe I wouldn't have even known about financial aid. I would have just, you know, gone into debt or, you know, not gone at all.
Corona Campi says that experience motivated her to help other first-generation students apply for college. She hopes others like her can have that same help. In Seattle, I'm Freddie Monades.
You're listening to KMUN News. If you have a news tip or story idea, get in touch with us. Email us at news1@kmun.org. That's news, the numeral 1, at KMUN.org. Local and regional news on KMUN is brought to you by our news partners and the KMUN News Team. That includes host and producer Skylar Butenshin, intern Sylvia Thorpe, and me, news director Katie Frankowitz. Our news broadcasts air Monday through Thursday, beginning at 7:59 in the morning and 4:59 in the evening. With the Thanksgiving holiday this Thursday, there will be a slight change to that schedule. News will air as usual tomorrow and Wednesday, but on Thursday we're going to try to take the day off. Expect to hear a show from one of our partners instead. We will continue to monitor things for any breaking news items that you should be aware of. That's all for us today. This is KMUN.